presents
At the Races with Steve Bick.
Enough! Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back. Hour two on this weekend preview, and with, you know, a little bit of a quiet weekend, obviously, with just the three major tracks that are going to run. I thought it was going to be an opportunity to check in with Javier Castellano. And, of course, everybody industry-wide immediately alarmed when word came that Javi was testing positive for Corona and would have to be quarantined and monitor. Knock on wood, has been without the obvious symptoms, but thought this would be a great chance for Javi to say hello to everybody. Javi, good morning. How you feeling?
Good morning, guys. I'm feeling great. Very lucky, very fortunate. Tinga, I'm doing really well, and everything going well in the right direction.
And you've been just, you know, minor symptoms or no symptoms, just monitoring. Explain to everybody what this has been like and what you've gone through.
Well, basically about two weeks ago, almost, I started having a little sore throat, a little bit, and just a little headache one day. It was weird, and I felt it like, usually I never have a headache, and I feel a little sore throat and a little headache, and then I'm fine, go away. I'm feeling good, everything perfect. Flew from New York to Florida, perfect, I don't have any problem. The day before, I run 3 miles, I go faster because I didn't run for a week in New York, and by then, they call the racetrack, goes to the park, it required to every jockey he can out of the state, they need to have a test, make sure everybody's okay. And of course, I came from Haspa, New York, and I ended up when I took a test, and they gave me the result, they come out positive. I couldn't believe it myself. And I repeat my day of birth, everything, and they say, yeah, you are. And I said, listen, I just, not even 24 hours, run 3 miles in 20 minutes. I go faster, really quick. It's 90 degrees here. I breathe fine. I feel fine. I don't have any symptoms at all. And what I said, well, you're the lucky guy and very lucky, fortunate to be like that. Hopefully stay like this. And you're the kind of therapy person, you know, maybe you're not going to have any symptoms because you're athlete, you're healthy, but you can transport for anybody else. The main thing, you have to be in quarantine 14 days and sit still. That's it. Lucky, it's a challenge. Don't get me wrong. Every single day, and you question yourself, and why happened, why this, and why I got it, how I get it. It's a word to see because you don't know how you get it, or what day you get it, or who you contact. You don't know. Right. You can be touching something, and you got it. Unfortunately, maybe happy, you know, I don't know. And, of course, unfortunately, it happened to me for some reason. I think I'm doing really well, and I'm looking forward to come out of this. And, but it's a challenge. It's a tough time in my life because you always think before you go to bed, what's going to happen next? And the beginning party was tough, rough. Because it said you got to be prepared because maybe one day you're going to be out of the breath or maybe it's going to have a strong symptom. You got to be ready. You can call 911 or you can be ready. Tell it you have the COVID-19, everything. Everything negative, the first thing human being came to you, my, oh, what happens if it's something? I got to be prepared. You know, what happens if I don't breathe? What happens if I die? What happens if I ended up in the hospital? Those kind of things come through your mind. Basically, it more affect me, not physical. Thank God, I have 11 days so far, and I'm feeling great. I got 3 more days to go, basically. I counted the day the day I have the test. Maybe I had it before. I didn't have any symptoms at all. But basically, I'm good. I'm waiting the next couple of days. I take another test, make sure I'm clear. I go back to New York and go stay with my family. And I'm looking forward.
So you're basically away from Abby and the kids.
Yes, I am. I'm here in Florida, South Florida. My kids and Abby, my kids, they are in New York.
Well, good. And that, so I'm sure there's been, a lot of FaceTime with the phone and the computer. And Abby's probably ready for some relief, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, very lucky. I'm telling you. First of all, thank God. And thank you for my family. They've been support to me. My wife, she's been a lot of patience. And deal with three kids by herself and home. And what about the kid? What about my son? What about me? And, you know, my mom, I live with my mom here in Florida. My mom, she's 64. And thank God, it's a role model. I'm so proud to her. Because the day I told I had the COVID-19, come up positive, I need to go away. I need to go rent some place. I need to go to the apartment myself. I can't stay with you, my mom. And, like, you know, the mother, how they are, you know, you not go anywhere. You stay here with me, you, my son, and we go through together. And, man, but you 64, don't worry about it. We strong, and we go through together. My mother has 11 days already with me. I counted, basically, and she really strong. She don't have any symptoms. She don't have anything. And that's the first thing they told me and they give me the result. They stay away from any people. Many people, I said, how can I do that? I live with my mom, and I can't, no, stay away from her. And my mom, we eat together, we hanging out together, and I mean, we live in the townhouse, you know, it's not huge, but at some point we have to cross close, and
sure.
And she's fine, thank God, she's really good.
How much weight have you, she's been cooking though for you, how much weight have you gained?
Actually, you know, very lucky. My mom, she is so healthy. She is so healthy. I think that's the reason she beat all this situation because we eat salad, we eat soup, we eat everything healthy. And actually, I'm doing really well. I keep my way. I check my way every day. I'm the same way. I mean,
nice.
Very lucky.
Nice. I love it. If it was my circumstance, my mother's gone. But believe me, if I was stuck with her, she'd be cooking you know, like crazy. I don't know. I'd be in bad shape if I was a jock. Let me. You know, it occurs to me since you mentioned your mom. What about your brother and his horses? He's in Maryland and just kind of biding his time right now.
Yeah, you know, unfortunately, you know, everybody, we on the same boat, basically, and he got a few horses, and has to put in the shelter and chill out. I mean, everybody has to drop a little bit the way they train it, because we don't know when it's going to be clear to everybody start running, and basically, he's there in the stall, and drop the hand a little bit, not to train it too hard, just to light train and keep it happy, the horses. But he's doing well, and his family is good, doing well. He lives in Delaware. Thank God he's doing really well and healthy. Good. Everybody follow the way, the green line to move forward. I mean, the first thing, we have to beat the curve, everybody. I think we need to be everybody together. I think the only way you can beat this, everybody, if you quarantine yourself for at least 2 weeks, everybody now spray the virus, and I think everybody has to put something a little bit to help it, to put it together, to get it done. This, that's the only way you can do it, because we don't have any cure. We don't have anything to kill this virus. The only have to be common sense. Every single one, stay home and be together and help each other. And that's the only way. Very simple. Common sense, wash your hands. Those two things, if you wish to spray a little bit, to see every single one, I think we can go through. We can stop the virus.
Exactly. Javier Castellano with us. I thought it'd be great. I figured everybody would love to hear from Javi as he waits out the virus and spends the quarantine. What will happen when you clear quarantine, Javi? Are you going to be allowed to start riding at Gulfstream and pick up and take some mounts, take some calls?
I don't think so. I think I'm kind of time off a little bit because, you know, it's mentally he got me pretty good. And I need to back up a little bit, go back home, refresh my mind, stay cool, stay. I mean, it's the only way we can beat this. And I'm going to go quarantine more. I'm going to be home at least 2-3 weeks, go away with my family, stay home and chill out and try to beat the curve. When I see better result, I'm able to start riding. In the meantime, I'm going to take a test the next couple of days. Hopefully, I can be clear, go back to New York with my family, see still. I'm not going to ride anywhere so far. Let him pass the curve a little bit and try to beat it. It's the only way because a lot of people die. You can see, yep. You know, through the world. You can see through the news. Every single day, especially in New York, it's bad. It's sad. We have to be a little bit common sense. Everybody has to be help each other because we don't realize how bad it is. I mean, like me, I'm very lucky, fortunate to go through and healthy and not center. But it can happen to anybody. You can go to the gas station, you put the gas, and you touch the gun, you put it, you contain anything. I heard just last night in the news, you can sneeze, and the sneeze, it stay about 2 hours, they say. If you go to that part, and you smell a little bit, or you touch the air, or whatever, you can contain it. I mean, it's crazy. If you realize how you can be, you know, contain it, you know, it's crazy. The only way we can be, everybody separate, everybody home. Let him divide and go by. After that, we can do whatever we want. You know, it's not going to be, in the end, the world. I think only we have to help each other and be more safe.
Javi, a few horses have been running that normally you would have had the call, and you know, that includes the return of Vekoma the other day. I'm sure you're watching the racing that's going on.
Well, I'll be honest, I didn't watch the race that day. I feel kind of let it down a little bit. And because that was the day I was looking for, I was prepared mentally, physically to perform because I was 1 week not riding anything just to take care of myself and not to be contagious and try to be, you know, but it is what it is. Unfortunately, I got it. And then when I see all the horses, I was supposed to ride 11 horses. And I especially become one of the special horses, and he won, kind of, you know, get depressed a little bit. But it's good for the sport. It's good for the owner. I want to see the good horse to move forward. I think, first of all, thank you for the support, Joe Weaver and Randy Hill and all the partnership involving the horse. I've been working the horse every single week, for two months. And by the time you point running, you're happy, you know. But it's okay. I'm happy, you know. I'm happy to move, to see the whole win. And I'm looking forward.
Well, and of course, we think back to you know, the past season and another terrific year for you, and capped at the end of the season with a couple of Breeders' Cup wins, British Idiom, and the thrilling win on Belvoir Bay as well. And, you know, a outstanding 2019, obviously off to, you know, an interrupted 2020, Javi, but this'll be behind us soon enough, and just as long as you get 100% healthy, John will have you back on all the top mounts, you know, as soon as things start to really resume, and you know, it actually buys you guys more time to get you that Derby horse for this year.
Yeah, nothing negative in the life. You got to look up all the better possible, and I think we're looking forward. Hopefully, maybe it could be 2020. It could be my Derby year, and that could be May. But I would be. I'd take any time, any time of the year.
You'd probably trade a couple of those Travers wins, the six of them. You'd maybe trade a couple for a Derby.
No, I don't want to take it away, Mike.
Nah.
I don't want to tell you. I want to keep earning. Keep earning.
You know, it is, it's, Javi, it is, and I don't think you and I have ever really talked about this kind of thing with your Hall of Fame career. It is one of the amazing modern achievements in the sport that you've won six Travers. I mean, it's really kind of a throwback thing. It's like an Arcaro or a Shoemaker statistic.
Yeah, it's amazing. I think the most jockey win four races, and it was Pat Day, Eddie Arcaro, and Mike Smith, and another jockey. I think McLaughlin. I remember Walter McLaughlin. But it was 18-something. I mean, he was four.
Look at you.
And now I ended up in the list with six. I said, oh, my God, it's amazing. Thank God to give me the opportunity to be in that level, you know, because I remember my first travel, it was Bernardini. And I was so happy that night. I called my mom, told me, man, I want to travel one of the biggest races in the country. It's the three-year-old race in the summertime. They hook up all the big horses. And people don't realize it, how important is that race, because all the three-year-old horses, the young horses, start developing early in the year. But at some point, they grow so fast, and they start realizing how good they are in the summertime, and then perform the best performing it could be later on, late-developing horses, that's what we call. And you see the Kentucky Derby, some horses, they don't perform good, or the Preakness and the Belmont, because early stage in his career. But they move forward, they grow mentally, physically. By the summertime, those horses, they're really ready to go, and they're ready to show all the ability, all the skill. And by the time you put every single one together, it could be in the Travel, it could be the Derby winner, it could be the Preakness winner, or it could be the Belmont winner. All those three horses, they ended up in the Triple Crown race. They ended up at the same spot. The Travis. That's the reason how important is the Travis, because it's the summertime. You give it time, the horses developer, and that's going to perform good. And they ended up tough race and very lucky to win the race. And I remember, I said, man, when I won the first Travis, I told my mom, at least I can retire. I can say I won the Travis. So at least I win one. And look at how I ended up with Travis in my career. I mean, it's amazing. And don't think I did it myself. It's a lot of help. A lot of people, he helped me to get to that level. A lot of training, owning, agents. My agents, they work hard to find the best horses, the quality horses to perform. I mean, it's a tough race, and it's a combination between, it's a team effort. You need to have a horse, you need to have a trainer, and you need to have an agent to find the best horses to perform.
Well, and you know, you've won six in 13 years, and there's been obviously some, I mean, they're all important, but they've been some of the most thrilling, including a Fleet Express's win for Gainesway and Jimmy Jerkins, which was as thrilling a finish. I mean, and there's been one close finish in the Travers after another these last several years. I mean, there's been the blowouts too, and like Arrogate's performance and West Coast, but the one I should have think to ask about, actually, bring us back to the American Pharoah Frosted Keen Ice Travers, Javi, and what was unfolding as you watched in front of you, and when did you realize that you were going to get a chance to reach the leaders?
I'll be honest with you, in the beginning of the race, it's the come from behind horse, and I remember that day they were handicapped, they raised nice speed at all. And I kept looking for a spin, only American Pharoah. That's the only spin in the race. Most of the horses come from behind, and that's the style. And I don't want to change anything. I used to say myself, listen, I'm trying to go with the flow. I got to, you know, find the best way to the whole. He finished really good. Hopefully, American Fire, he ended up at some point and tried to go by. But that's the development of the race, and I was behind. And at some point, I just ride my own race. I don't try to ride, like, to beat American Fire to the lead. I just to go with the horse and see, go with the rider. And when the past the half a mile ago, I felt that my horse, I started riding, but I felt, keep going. So, but the 3-8, I said, uh-oh, I think I'm going to get it. I'm going to get this. And I get so excited. I start riding hard in the quarter pole when it turned. But before the last 3-16 pole, I said, yes, I got it. Because I see American Fire, he didn't took off. He jockey started riding, and the horse don't respond. The same rhythm, same level. I said, oh, okay, this is my race. As soon as I passed the 8 pole, I got it. I was so excited, so happy. Yes. I beat the triple crown horse. It's so hard because, you know, you never know. You know, it's a race. That's why you have to run to beat the horses. That's the only way you can compete.
Well, 16-1, and it goes down in the history of the game as one of the great Saratoga upsets, and not just limited really to Saratoga upsets either. Just one of the great upsets in all of racing history. And you know, you've had any number. I mean, we could go back and there's probably, you know, a certain horse or a certain stake win. You know, the one that I'll tell you, the one that we always think of, which seemed to be the flashpoint for your career, and that was with Ghost Zapper.
Yeah, absolutely, I agree. See, I think that horse it mean a lot to me because, you know, the ways he did it, and I don't see any horses the way he performed. I give a lot of credit. He's that kind of type of horses. He did it the short distance and the middle distance and the long distance. Just to let you know, most of the horses, they have some ability. They have only one dimension. It goes short distance, they develop a sprinted horses, and the horses long distance. You don't see the horses long distance perform really well in the short distance because they're too short. And if you sprint a horse, how immense he was a horse. He won grade one, 6 foot long, 7 foot long, a mile, mile 16, and mile and a quarter. All grade one. I mean, it's a lot to ask it, and he did it. And I think Bobby Frank, he did a great job with the horse, to the way he trained the horse. Very lucky, fortunate to enjoy the ride. It was an amazing horse because the horse, he put me in the map. I was winning a lot of races. I was winning a lot of standing, I mean, leading jockeys. But you need to step up the ladder. I think you need to be in another level. And that's the 2004 when I win the Breeders' Cup Classic. And that's my first mile of the day. I never been in the Breeders' Cup. That's my first Breeders' Cup. And win the Breeders' Cup Classic, it was amazing.
I'm going to give you one more too, beside Ghost Zapper, because I'm going to guess that, I mean, as many great single performances and moments in riding stake horses, Javi, was there a single effort under you bigger than Bellamy Rhodes would?
Oh, it was another horse. It was amazing. I can tell the Wood Memorial when he won by 17 lengths in front, almost track record. It was a machine. It was a fast horse. You can tell by his stride, his moving, the way he galloped, a huge, big horse, a good body, looking good horse, very shiny horse. I think you can tell by his body language, the horse, he said, wow, this is a really good horse. And the way he did it in the Wood Memorial that year, and he won by broad the record at 17 lane in front. I think it's amazing. I think he won the best horse too I ever rode in my life.
That, you know, and it's funny because nobody really thought of you as, you know, as kind of a showboat or a flashy rider, but you were obviously so excited by his effort that day. And when you got to the wire and you pointed the, when you pointed the finger, that's something that I just see whenever anybody brings up Bellamy Road. I think about you, kind of standing up and pointing, you know, up the stretch, like, he's like an arrow. That was a great moment.
Thank you. I enjoyed that day. Too much.
Javi, you sound great, and I'm just happy that that this is almost over for you. And I knew that everybody would appreciate hearing from you, and give everybody. I'm sure you've heard from just hundreds and hundreds of industry participants, and of course on Twitter and on the social media, so many people have reached out to you and sending you the best wishes.
Thank you, Steve. Thank you very much for the support, and thank you for all the fans. They look up for me, and they talk and they pray for me, and I appreciate that. And thank you for everything.
Get out there. Javier Castellano, everybody, and you can follow Javi on Twitter. It's you tweet a little bit. You send out some tweet stuff, but JJC Jockey Javier Castellano, best to Abby and the kids. And Javi, we'll see you soon enough out in the afternoons.
Thank you, too. Thanks so much.
You got it. Javier Castellano, everybody. How much fun. And we could spend, you know, we could spend another 90 minutes. They can bring up horse after horse with Javier. And it is pretty. I mean, you look through the list. I mean, and he's young. He's got 5,200 wins, and he's about 60% into a career. He's got years to come. We'll take a time out here. Bottom of the hour. We're going to check in with Hammer and Jay Pridman and Ed DeRosa and Mike Welch. Second half at the races. Weekend preview, but a fun half hour stopover with Javier Castellano and. Clearly, his mom is monitoring his intake. My mother, there would have been a brisket. There would have been, you know, please, there'd be matzo balls next week for Pesach. I'd be 4 pounds over with every mount. But Javi's watching his waist. I love it. Back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Have you heard about the new handicapping and betting app that is sweeping the nation? It's called First Bet, and it puts the power of AI-assisted handicapping, seamless wagering, and live HD video in the palm of your hand. Thousands of bettors have already made First Bet their way to handicap, bet, and watch more than 300 of the world's top tracks. Isn't it time for you to join them? And when you give First Bet a try today, you can cash in on a huge welcome bonus. Sign up with promo code SPORTOFKINGS, all one word, and you will get $10 just for joining, as well as a 10% rebate, up to $500 for your first 30 days. With that much free cash on the line, what do you have to lose? Get started at first.com/bet. That's number1st.com/bet. And don't forget promo code SPORTOFKINGS when you sign up. And if you already have an ExpressBet account, you're way ahead of the game. Simply log into FirstBet using your username and password, and you're off to the races.
Up to 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with FirstBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal, void or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
If you are racing two-year-olds in California and Kentucky, please consider Bleeder Shield. The leading all-natural paste used to greatly reduce or eliminate EIPH. The list of trainers who trust Bleeder Shield is endless. Shouldn't you join the team? To learn more, contact Joseph Vellante at 215-501-6880.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Here in Pennsylvania, we have the best breeding program in the country, thanks in part to our Racehorse Development Trust Fund. It's a trust, it's not tax dollars, and by law, our fund is completely protected. These are difficult days for all of us. When life in America gets back to normal, and it will, our PA breeding program will be here, stronger and better than ever. To learn more about how we're protecting the trust, go to PABred.com to watch a short video.
How's it going, Sue?
Hey!
Have you seen this commercial?
What career track are you on?
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck.
Isn't that the horse racing school that Bob Baffert went to?
Yeah, Todd Fletcher, too, and lots of other major players in every area of the industry.
Really? Like what?
Well, for starters, we have graduates who are executives at Churchill Downs, NYRA, Darley America, Gulfstream, Keeneland, you name it. They're also regulators, racing officials, bloodstock agents, track announcers. My class had a job placement rate of almost 90%.
Wow, what other college program has results like that?
What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing. This is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Can you hear them talking about us, telling lies? Is that a surprise? Can you see them, see right through them? They have a shield, nothing must be revealed. It doesn't matter what they say. No one listens.
We're back at the races. A little past the bottom of the hour after a fun visit with Javier Castellano, even under the circumstances, with Javi recovering from a legitimate... he had a little more symptomatic than I thought. They described him as asymptomatic, but with Tina and I having dealt with it, he had the assorted, it's like waves of symptoms essentially, and the cough and then the headache, chills, nausea, and it kind of just it sort of cycles through, and this week has been much better, but it's taken a legitimate, it'll be 3 weeks on Sunday. It has taken every bit of 15 days to feel better, and I'm glad Hav's okay, and he's got his mom taking care of him, and I'm glad that I didn't realize that he was segregated from Abby and the kids, and that's probably very fortunate too. Hammer joining us, and of course Rick headed home from Hot Springs back to Chatsworth. And Hammer, able to settle in, and everybody okay?
Everybody's great here, and that was great to hear from Javier. His little story there, and sounds very upbeat, and that was even better.
Yes.
But it kind of brings us back to home and think about how serious this deal we're going through really is. when they got a top-class athlete like that, you know, test positive. But on the other hand, he did the right thing, and, you know, he's coming out the other side, you know, all the better. But it was great to hear him upbeat and talking about, you know, this and that and the family, cracking a few jokes there. That was a great interview,
yeah.
Steve.
Thank you. I delighted. I thought people would appreciate hearing from him, and it's he's toward the end of the ordeal, but he's probably doing the right thing and taking a few more weeks. And, you know, because I can just tell from what Tina and I've gone through, it saps you, and you need as much rest as you can, you know, possibly afford, and why not? I mean, what else you got to do, really? This is everything they feared it is, and I think it's probably good that somebody high profile have this experience to sort of make everybody aware, Rick. I mean, because there were plenty of people that were downplaying and asking, "Oh, who do you know that has it?" Well, Javier Castellano. How about that?
Yeah.
How about Javier Castellano?
Yeah, like it's not real unless somebody you know is.
Yes,
exactly. Right? No.
Exactly.
I tell you, I've been back a little over a week now and settling in, and I really have to admit, I'd go on my little afternoon walk. And I actually kind of feel bad going outside doing that, but I don't see a whole lot of people out running around. I don't hear stories of, you know, obviously talking to a lot more people than normal because you're home and, you know, just making more conversation with people. I don't hear anybody saying, "Oh, I was out doing this. I snuck out to somewhere and just to get out." Everyone around here seems to be doing the right thing, and a little different on the West Coast, especially in Los Angeles, compared to some of the other metropolitan areas, you know, where we don't depend on mass transit. We don't depend on a whole lot of walking to get anywhere. It's basically getting your car. So all you have to do to stay isolated here is don't get in your car, because then you're not going anywhere. I mean, it sounds kind of crazy, but, you know, no subways, no boats, no trains to get to work from the majority or get anywhere. It's jump in your car by yourself. So, basically just stay home and don't get in your car and you're safe. I went to the market the other morning. I was at 6 o'clock and I was number 11 and they were letting 20 people in, and I was in and out in a half hour and very regulated. So except for a few occasions, you've seen the stuff going around Twitter, some farmers markets where people are out running around, but you're always going to have the nuts that think they're greater than anybody else, and it's not going to infect involve them. But pretty much, pretty proud with the way the city has shut down. In fact, I saw they even fined a surfer yesterday. Gina was telling me $1,000 for getting out. So they've locked down the beaches. They don't want you out anywhere. I mean, I was going to sneak out and down the road and go to my little hiking spot, and I'm thinking, you know what? I don't want to be that jerk, so I'm just going to stay home. So it's good to hear, you know, it's not that bad staying home doing stuff until you realize why you're staying home and thinking about what's going on out there. But, you know, we're here like everybody else. I'm going to plan my first Derby Wars head-to-head contest today. I haven't done that before. So, reading a lot of books like everybody else, I'm sure. And just taking care of some things at home. So, of course, it's only April 2nd. Well, maybe when we're talking May 2nd, we'll see. Maybe we'll have a different tune. But I was talking about it. If this had to happen, it couldn't have happened at a better time in the weather cycle around the country. Imagine this happening in November, heading into a rough winter. But it's springtime, so you can at least go outside and sit in your backyard or, you know, get out and stretch your legs a little bit. So, you know, we got to make the most of it. And so we are doing that here.
Well, it's the only way to deal with it. And, you know, as disappointed, Rick, as we all are with, you know, what has now resulted in quick succession, Santa Anita, Golden Gate, and I understand Cal Expo, you know, now all sidelined. The reports from yesterday were a little certainly irksome. I mean, the fact that the Arboretum is taking in people, albeit, you know, in a controlled way, and with the indoor, some indoor sections closed. But the fact that across the street, the Arboretum is operating, and here's Santa Anita, which is a closed environment that is putting nobody at risk except those that are acceptant of the risk, and the glee with which these people are interrupting and hurting others' lives. I don't know how you look yourself in the mirror.
Well, these people are disgusting. I tell you what, it's a lot of frustration here. I haven't worked here for a while, but I still am involved with a lot of people that we talk and find out what's going on over there at the racetrack. And when I heard yesterday, I got a word that there was a health department guy up at Golden Gate. I mean, this is absolutely targeted. And, you know, my question is, who's on the front lines for the racetrack fighting back? We never hear that. I never get an answer. Oh, yeah, so-and-so's out there putting in the fight. It's almost like a rollover situation. And, you know, that's upsetting to a lot of the people here. A lot of the horsemen are very frustrated. You know, who's fighting their battle? And here you go. Just like you said, Santa Anita Park on Baldwin Avenue is on one side. Directly across the street is the Arboretum. And an Arboretum is like an open area, park area, beautiful plants and birds and, you know, walking around. It's just a place for the families to walk around and, you know, be out in nature, so to speak, been there for 100 years. It's actually run by the county, but right across the street. And here they are, open, cars out there. They're telling me the picnic's going on over there with families. And here you go right across the street. They shut the racetrack down, who has done really everything the right way by asking certain, you know, like asking the agents not to show up in the morning. You know, asking the owners not to show up in the morning. The only people out there are trainers and the people who the grooms and the heart walkers and exercise riders who do what they do. And then in the afternoon, there's virtually nobody there except a couple place judges and a couple stewards, and even less people in the afternoon than there are in the morning. And here they get shut down and targeted, and just like Golden Gate Fields did. Now, you got Los Alamitos there. They're in Orange County. It's Doc Allred's country. He doesn't lay down too quick, so I'm going to be interested to see how that goes. I would be willing to lay a little wager that they stay open a little longer than his other tracks do, because he doesn't roll over. So a lot of frustrating times here. The only good part maybe that comes out of this is it sounds like this might be a temporary situation, and I don't know what that means. What's temporary? A week? 2 weeks, a month, you know, 2 months. The season's supposed to end up here at the end of June, and there is some feeling that there is some hope that it will come back. And maybe when the April 30th date hits, which is the stay-in date when it's this currently up, that maybe May 1st is the date they can get back into action. I certainly hope so. But a lot of frustration here. You know, there were some horses from Santa Anita down south headed up north. There was a van load or two headed up there just yesterday and the day before because they were trying to use the horses up there to run. There's some horses trying to go to Oaklawn, as you know, we'll talk about later. But very frustrating here in Southern California. I know we got to do the right thing, and it's very disheartening when you see, like you said, two businesses across the street from each other, and one open and one not. So, and the gloating, like you said, going on with these groups and these people is disgusting during a time like this.
Oh, exactly. Hammer, meanwhile, Oaklawn perseveres, and I'm sure that you've remained in contact. And I brought up with Owen Hardy. I don't know if you heard Owen the other morning, and Owen really was kind of still gathering information, but it sure feels like the opportunity is there for the West Coast horsemen that share barns at right now in Hot Springs and in California to ship some horses in and kind of swap them out for the next 6 weeks through the end of the meet. And I'm curious, you know, how many conversations you've had, you know, with D'Amato and Baltus and O'Neill and Sadler, et cetera, about, you know, maintaining the barns that they have and the stalls that they have at Oak Lawn, and then the potential to bring some horses and kind of swap them out as the meet winds down.
Right. Still in talk, in contact with those trainers, among others who are looking to, you know, possibly get in. There wasn't much room to begin with there. And so what they've done, and I'm going to read off the overnight, Sunday's overnight, about how they're doing that. So what they're doing anyway is horses can go, people can't. So in other words, you
right.
can send your horse there, but it has to, when it comes off the van, it's going to be taken care of by somebody that's already at Oak Lawn Park, and arrangements made with the help. So you can't send your help, which is, you know, it just keeps this, they've really done the right thing. They've gone from 0 to 100 as far as the right thing to do is in restraining the people. So they're taking, it was just on the overnight, no horses or humans from the states of Louisiana or New York will be allowed on the grounds. And they're only taking horses for maiden races, allowance races, or stake races allowed to enter from any other state. So that's how they're working that. So you got some horses, like you said, let's just bring up Phil D'Amato. He's got stalls there, so if he wants to do a little swappage from California, that's fine. Horses will come off the van. Obviously, he's got already help in place. Now, if some guys want to show up for stake races, they need to make arrangements to, you know, with a friend or someone they know, that when the horses come off the van, that they'll be taken care of by their help. So it's a good way to do it. Once again, since we've said from the beginning, we got to commend Oak Lawn for doing everything they can to stay open. It's a great lifeline, especially for the Midwest, and now it's actually going to be from all over the place. As you'll see on Saturday's card, there's horses from everywhere. You mentioned Bill Mott has shipped some horses in, and you see Kent DeSormo, Keith DeSormo has a couple on the card Saturday and Sunday. Balt is swapping some horses out. I think that race on Sunday you talked about, that ninth race, I think there's 12 horses in it. I think there's 6 of them from California trainers right in a row. You got Baltus, Andrew Lerner, Peter Miller, Doug O'Neill, John Sadler, and Keith DeSormo right in a row. 6 of the 12 are horsemen that normally train in California this time of year. So definitely taking some horses in, and doing the right thing. It's for those of you who are us that are used to going to the races, working at the races, being around the races, seeing races run without people is really kind of wild. On TV, you don't get it. You don't see the, obviously you don't have the feel, but watching races, being at a racetrack with no people, and it's just really kind of crazy. But, kudos to them for soldiering on. And going all the way to May 2nd, it's knock on wood that they get that in. Right now, they're doing everything the right way to keep that going. And the racing is, you know, it's like that play or movie, 10 Little Indians. We're down to 3, right? We got Golden Gate out with Tampa, Gulfstream, and Oak Lawn Park.
And Will Rogers Downs.
You're right. Today, though, I meant through the weekend,
right.
And they,
right.
No, but those two tracks, I mean, they did the right thing. They switched days, so it selfishly for us, if we want to play, we're covered every day of the week. So
yes.
Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. I mean, who hasn't taken a peek and put a few bucks in the account and made a bet or two on Will Rogers or Fawner? I know I'm guilty. It's actually kind of cool as far as that, having that around, and I'm glad they switched their days. So we're all getting through it, and as best we can. I'm hoping that we're all doing the right thing for the right reason, and hopefully by the end of the month, the curve is flattened, as we like to bring up the flatten the curve, and we can get back to some kind of normalcy. But, you know, it's it could be worse. At least we're confined to our houses. And, you know, like I said, not bad. I got a stack of books I'm going through, and it's kind of fine. Now, remember, I've been on the road for the last 7 months, so home's okay. You know what I noticed this morning? I was doing some stuff while I was talking to you. I looked up and I go, I still got the Christmas lights up, and I'm thinking, what's going on here? But now I left. You know, like January 1st, and they were still up. And you got to get up on the roof to take them down. I told Gina, or I wrote a note down. I go, I'll be taking the Christmas lights, I think, down today. Pretty funny. But a lot of little things to do around the house, so I'm sure everybody else is finding that out too as well. So anyway, we get to talk about Oakmont a little bit. I guess yesterday we had a close race, huh? In the sixth race.
I know some people. Some people immediately went berserk because they didn't get to see the photograph. And then as soon as the photograph came out, it was obvious. And, not every camera that is taking in the action is exactly on the finish line. And finish lines and the angle of finish lines from racetrack to racetrack is different. And there's always going to be moments where the visual is skewed, and the overreacting and the faux outrage seconds after it absolutely just takes your enjoyment of things, and it just turns it so negative. It makes me nuts.
Well, I agree. I didn't see the race. I was doing something else, and I look on, and I said, "Oh my gosh, what happened at Oakland? Oh, they did this, they did that." So I was just kind of calmed down, and I didn't have a place to see the replay, and I watched the replay this morning, and it's the we called it the Oakland angle. You're 100% the camera is not on the finish line; it's before the finish line, and I'm thinking to myself, "Oh my God, what's this going to look like?" And you know what? I will tell you what, worked in a lot of racing offices, seen a lot of stuff. It is an odd angle. Down the stretch, when you're there in the office, and it's a close race, somebody will go, oh, the four, and go, oh, no, it's the six, I'll bet you a buck it's the six. I lost more bets, and other people did too in that office. It's very deceiving. When I watched it this morning on the replay, after seeing it, I didn't say it was that bad. And then once again, Vic Stauffer ended up putting up the photo online. We sent that around, like you said, it calmed people down. And it's just one of those things. I watched the whole thing. The cameraman guessed wrong, so he followed the three horse back all the way. Coming back to the winner's circle area. And the jockey on the three never got off, and they were kind of walking him in a circle. And then when they put the two up, all of a sudden they showed the two, and they had to put the saddle back on him, and Joe had to get back up and get in the winner's circle. So it was kind of a visual thing too. You think the three won, and they did it, but it like you said, all the angles are different. When I saw it on the replay, I said, well, the 2-1. You could see it if in your mind you know the 2-1 and you want to see him win, you can see it happen. Sometimes that doesn't happen, but yeah, little overreaction. I mean, they're not going to put up the wrong numbers. He got the photo, so what I mean. It's not like anything nefarious was going to happen, but yeah, let's just calm down a little bit on that stuff because it does happen when you think you won and you lost and you go okay and you move on, but. You can't think that anything bad was going on there. So, and you got to remember too, they're taking the TVG feed, and I don't know if the TVG feed gets the Oakland feed that might have put the picture up. But I'm sure they heard from enough people to, hey, you know what? When it's closed, just put the picture up and move on. But yeah, a little overreaction there yesterday, that's for sure. But anyway, we need to calm down a little bit. Heading into the. Before we go over a couple of races, heading into the jock standings now, Santana went down to ride a couple of weeks ago on Louisiana Derby Day, and he had to take a couple of weeks off for that, just for the quarantine deal that was known going in. So he has been gone, and so Turn up the stats today. We got a new leader in the clubhouse. Joe Talamo is now the leading rider with 37. And then you got Santana with 36, David Cohen with 35, and Martin Garcia with 34. So 37, 36, 35, 34, pretty close race, I'd say, heading into the last month. And Orlando Mojica is 27, and Walter De La Cruz, 23, and Tyler Bayes, 19. So, you know what? Really good jockeys there this year. And I remember mentioning it right when I started. I went into the stewards about, you know, why there was not a whole lot of inquiries. And they told me, they said, this is a really, really good colony. These guys have really been riding good. So there you go. And not often do you see basically six guys within 14, but four guys within four. So heading into it, and Robertina Diodoro with 44 wins, and Steve Astrington 32, Brad Cox 20. And also on a major circuit like this, heading into, you know, three quarters of the meet is over. Rarely do you see a trainer have more wins than the jockey this late in. The leading trainer, meaning over the leading jockey. So 44 to 37 in that fashion. But a lot of this comes from a lot of competitive racing and some good sequence, good pick five sequence on Saturday. And that Purple Martin came up. Now, do you know what a Purple Martin is? Oh, excuse me. I didn't know you were a registered ornithologist. But yeah,
we've got a big, beautiful Purple Martin house, but I can't get any Purple Martins to come to move into it.
Okay. Well, anyway, Purple Martin, I thought it might be a flower or something. Anyway, you never know. But yes, it's a bird. It's the largest swallow in North America. So anyway, apparently it's not even purple. It's according to the Audubon book that I was reading. But anyway,
well, they're fascinating birds, and they're very communal. Literally you'll get swarms of them in a concentration of houses, and you're supposed to put the houses up very high, 20 feet, and out in the middle of a field or the middle of your yard, as opposed to against tree cover and such. They prefer to have a wide open area around them, but they literally are like a commune of birds when they assemble. And you know, there's people that are like fanatically involved in creating environments for Purple Martins.
Wow. I didn't know. So
it's very cool, actually. They're very smart. I'm
glad to see it, because I thought it might have had some kind of a deeper meaning, but I like it. Purple Martin. But I tell you what, this is like a pre-test, to tell you the truth. This is a great little field that came together here.
Yeah.
Wesley had called about 10 days ago inquiring about it and about how he's going to get there and who's that, what the rules are. So he was going to send three. One of them didn't get in, so he sent two horses. He's got this one, Kamari, and he's got the one in the race earlier. So Wesley shows up there. You got the John Sadler horse we'll talk about. Del Motte comes in. Frank's Rockette. This horse is going to run here anyway. Frank Fletcher's a local participant. But Edgeway. Let's start with Edgeway. The three-year-old out of the Sadler barn that broke her maiden in late February. Probably the most impressive win or race horse that I saw when I was there. As far as that, a little bit of a buzz going in, made sure to go out and watch. And boy, she sure showed it. She buzzed out there in 9 flat at a time when, I mean, it's still 9 flat is cooking over that racetrack. You don't see too many horses that break 110. Like the way she did it. Wasn't quite sure where she was going to go. There was an allowance race. Not too long ago, first condition allowance race for 3-year-old fillies, one other than going long, thought maybe she would dip in there. She didn't. She's decided to keep short one more time, and I'm believing the fantasy, if she comes out of here well, will maybe be her target. But very, very impressive, definitely the most impressive maiden breaker we saw seen at the meet here for sure. So she's in there. Frank's Rockette, though, came back at Gulfstream and just ran through the TV with a huge number. and you know, Mott chips in, and this was the gal Kathy who runs Frank's stable told me we're coming in for the Purple Martin. So they were coming here. This has been the goal here, which I always like to see that. And then obviously they might try and stretch out again in the Fantasy, which now the Fantasy has been moved to May 1st, the Friday before closing day. So there's plenty of time for that to happen, which normally there isn't with these two races. So you have those two horses in there. You got Kamari, who Wesley Ward loves this horse, thought that she should have won the Breeders' Cup race, had a little trouble, and finished fourth, is a two-time stake winner. Broke her maiden by 15 at Keeneland, so she can handle the dirt, no problem with that. So she's making a comeback here, and she might be, normally you'd see a Wesley Ward horse like this would be, you know, maybe 6-5. She's going to be third choice in here, so you might get a good price on her. She drew the rail. Ringleader could be the upsetter. Probably going to be overlooked, 6-1 in the program, probably going to drift up with the money coming to those other three. She won the Dixie Belle here, 10-2, pedestrian time maybe, good time for the meet, doesn't compare to some of the times here. But if some of these others falter, she tried the Honeybee, they tried to take her long, she took some of these horses, to the top of the lane and then maybe didn't like the distance yet in her career. But going back to 6 furlongs, she likes this track. She's 2-for-3. Mac Robinson has had a good meet. Joe Talamo, who's won a ton of stakes here, jumps aboard. And so as we're looking for an upsetter. But I think you got to give the edge to Frank's Rockette just because of the experience. I mean, running multiple stakes, the Spinaway, the Frisette, the Adirondack, second in all those three stakes. And, is a little bit of a rocket ship. I mean, but I'm going to be watching Edgeway more than anything else. And then Kamari, who will come a little bit from off the pace probably today, but just a loaded Purple Martin. So, but that's not the only races on the day. If you take the race before that, it's a three-year-olds race for three-year-olds going long, could be a prep for the Arkansas Derby. Obviously it was also moved. It's not on the 11th anymore. Next Saturday, it's on closing day. So there will be a Derby run on the first Saturday in May. And so obviously plenty of time for these to come back. And there's some nice horses in here. Start with Answer In, obviously going to be the horse to beat. Was favored, pretty heavily favored in the Southwest. Just didn't put it together for Brad Cox. And, you know, he saw that. He didn't even enter in the Rebel. So you wondered if something was wrong. I don't think it was wrong. He just wanted to give the horse a little bit of a break. He dips down into this allowance category, which is perfect. Hits him right in the head. So he is going to be the horse to beat. The horse on the rail, I'm very interested in, coming out of the Rising Star and the LeConte. Finnick the Fierce, Martin Garcia, has been riding just unbelievable the last couple of weeks, gets on for Ray Hernandez. I think this horse might get away at a little bit of a price to take a look at. And this there's a couple of maiden breakers in here. Steve Asmussen's General Trev and Fort Knox, who just broke his maiden by many from Keith DeSormo down at the fairgrounds. Did you take a look at this race, Steve?
Not really.
Okay, but you will. But this is a good allowance race for these 3-year-olds. Like I said, one of these could emerge as a possible Arkansas Derby candidate.
Yep.
And the race before is a first condition filly mare race, and a horse in here that caught my name caught because of the name, Mariana Ginger, coming back for
Jeremiah
Engelhart. So I got to ask you, Mariana Ginger, what is it?
Who are you? It's very tough. I suppose at the time. More Ginger, but then my brother had to work with Tina Louise on Broadway, and he said she was impossible, and so that has influenced that's influenced my opinion later, you know, down the road.
Yeah, well, at the time I didn't know that. I was it wasn't even close. Ginger all the way. I mean, if you're going to run into either one of those on a desert island, I know where I'm going. But anyway.
Mariana
Ginger comes back in here after, you know, she's run one time. She broke her maiden in the Astoria, but facing older and for the first time. But I'll take a little Georgia Clay on the outside from Matt Shear, with Tyler Bays up to take a look at it, and then Bill Mott has Carnivon in there. But a good sequence to look at it. Oaklawn, you mentioned that race on Sunday with Ginobili and all the other California guys in there. So, you know, you got three tracks to go on, and us veterans, you can handle three tracks at one time, and hopefully they're the posts are coordinating, and we can get that done. But that's what we got. Like I said, hoping for the best out here, trying to get some things done. And I talked to a few horsemen this morning, actually, and they're deciding whether to keep their horses in training, and they're talking with their owners, or, you know, turn them out. And I was just talking to Neil Drysdale this morning, just, you know, chit-chatting. And it's like, no, you wonder if you turn them out and then racing starts in another month, then you've lost more time than you would have by keeping them in training.
Right.
So
exactly.
a lot of decisions to be made. And I'm sure it'll be up to the horse. And let's just hope, you know, maybe we get through this little period with the health department doing the right thing and get some racing back here in Southern California, because it's desperately needed.
Absolutely. Well, Hammer, stay safe, and we will see where we are next week. And, of course, those two nice stakes, the Mile and the Oaklawn Stake, serving as a prep for the Arkansas Derby. And as you mentioned, there's other spots, allowances, that are going to also probably feed in. And we'll probably get a better read here as the next couple of weeks go on. In fact, Jay Pridman next, and we'll see Jay's tracking toward Arkansas Derby as well. So, Hammer, I appreciate it, and I know you'll keep busy, but nice to be home. So I'll talk
right
this week.
Glad to hear you're back almost to be 100%. I know you were gutting it out there for a couple of weeks, so I'm glad to hear that. And just everybody, just do the right thing, be safe, and if you have if you think you should go out or shouldn't, just stay home. It's not a whole lot, but glad racing is still going, and we're still talking about it. Got to have something to wake up for every morning. So
exactly.
Enjoy your families and be safe, everybody.
Rick Hammerly, folks, so away they go on your Twitter. We'll go for our top of the hour break about 10 minutes in. Jay Pridman standing by. Derby Watch next. We'll get Jay's postscript to the Florida Derby and the lay of the land with this weekend that normally would have been just all three-year-olds for three straight hours. No wood, no bluegrass, no Santa Anita Derby. But plenty to talk about and look forward to. Jay Pridman next.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Have you heard about the new handicapping and betting app that is sweeping the nation? It's called First Bet, and it puts the power of AI-assisted handicapping, seamless wagering, and live HD video in the palm of your hand. Thousands of bettors have already made First Bet their way to handicap, bet, and watch more than 300 of the world's top tracks. Isn't it time for you to join them? And when you give First Bet a try today, you can cash in on a huge welcome bonus. Sign up with promo code SPORTOFKINGS, all one word, and you will get $10 just for joining, as well as a 10% rebate, up to $500 for your first 30 days. With that much free cash on the line, what do you have to lose? Get started at first.com/bet. That's st.com/bet. And don't forget promo code SPORTOFKINGS when you sign up. And if you already have an ExpressBet account, you're way ahead of the game. Simply log into FirstBet using your username and password, and you're off to the races.
Up to 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with FirstBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal, void, or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
If you are racing two-year-olds in California and Kentucky, please consider Bleeder Shield. The leading all-natural paste used to greatly reduce or eliminate EIPH. The list of trainers who trust Bleeder Shield is endless. Shouldn't you join the team? To learn more, contact Joseph Vellante at 215-501-6880.
Learn
the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Here in Pennsylvania, we have the best breeding program in the country, thanks in part to our Racehorse Development Trust Fund. It's a trust, it's not tax dollars, and by law, our fund is completely protected. These are difficult days for all of us. When life in America gets back to normal, and it will, our PA breeding program will be here, stronger and better than ever. To learn more about how we're protecting the trust, go to PABred.com to watch a short video.
How's it going, Sue?
Hey!
Have you seen this commercial?
What career track are you on?
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck.
Isn't that the horse racing school that Bob Baffert went to?
Yeah, Todd Fletcher, too, and lots of other major players in every area of the industry.
Really? Like what?
Well, for starters, we have graduates who are executives at Churchill Downs, NYRA, Darley America, Gulfstream, Keeneland, you name it. They're also regulators, racing officials, bloodstock agents, track announcers. My class had a job placement rate of almost 90%.
Wow. What other college program has results like that?
What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website.